Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Hour number two, Kyle Bailey, Chris Barnhart, now joined by Will Stewart and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday at 5:05 for the second hour. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing well.
Excellent.
Good. Glad to hear it. I guess let's get down to business. Last night, Pete Thamel and Sports Illustrated evidently scored an exclusive regarding Braxton Miller's rumored position change at Ohio State. Here we've been for the past couple of months, several months really, talking about which of this three-headed quarterback monster is going to start in Blacksburg September the 7th. But Braxton Miller evidently told SI he's making the move to wide receiver. But that's, at least to hear Urban Meyer tell it and Braxton Miller's father tell it, is news to them and maybe not the case necessarily. I don't know what the truth's going to be. I guess for the bottom line for me is I don't see any real advantage to saying this, to letting this be known this far out from the season, this far out from being in Blacksburg September the 7th. I don't know if it's a smokescreen. I don't know if it's some sort of ploy. I don't know what this is, but it just didn't. It makes sense for Braxton Miller and his pro prospects as a football player, but other than that, I don't see the point behind this.
Yeah, I don't see the point of releasing it right now. I mean, at least wait a couple of weeks into practice. Even if you're doing that in practice, and he's not working much at quarterback, he's pretty much focusing on wide receiver full time. Don't release it until, you know, maybe a week or two before the game, if at all. You know, let Bud Foster game plan for every scenario imaginable and then spring something secretive at the last second. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to release that right now. Maybe it is a smokescreen. Maybe it's not. Maybe Urban Meyer's going all KGB. I can tell you he really wants to win this football game. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think ultimately that would be the right move for them, not only for him personally, but for their team. If you would try to make that a three-way competition, there's just not enough reps to go around for three different quarterbacks with the first-team offense. So ultimately, I don't think they would make as much progress trying to rep three different guys. You know, I don't think you can get better that way. I think the most you can rep is two. Plus, you know, if you have three quarterbacks, you run the risk of really dividing the team into camps. I mean, there's a lot of older players in that program who, you know, if Braxton came out and played well at quarterback in August, there'd be a lot of older players in that program that would want him as their starting quarterback. And then when Urban started somebody else, you know, you run the risk of creating some factions there. So I think it would be the right move for him. Whether they're smokescreen in Virginia Tech or not, it's kind of hard to say at this point. Ultimately, the quarterback, you want to keep him in the pocket and you want to hit him every play. The biggest thing to me is still, doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, stop Zeke Elliott. If we stop Zeke Elliott, we have a good chance to win that game.
Stopping Zeke Elliott is certainly much easier said than done, but it's a great point because everything last year, even I still think it went undervalued or under-noticed maybe at times that the entire Ohio State offense, despite it being a wide-open spread attack, is predicated on the run game.
Sure.
And Ezekiel Elliott was the biggest part of that national championship run, certainly in the final, you know, two or three games there. Will, your thoughts on this? I thought it was strange timing, and again, makes sense for Braxton Miller, but why say it now?
I think from a Virginia Tech perspective, I don't think it really matters. After watching them
Agreed.
Last season, I think Ohio State can plug almost anybody in at quarterback.
Agreed.
And win a lot of football games. There's something about Urban Meyer's system and how he prepares his quarterbacks that they hit the ground running, pardon the expression, they're ready to go. You know, that was something when they went with JT Barrett, who, you know, was kind of hit or miss against Virginia Tech, but then quickly found his stride. And then they had to switch to Cardale Jones. He did a great job down the stretch. And I think you go back to the year before when Braxton Miller first got hurt. Who was it that came in and threw for six touchdowns? You know, his first game in.
Yeah.
So I think it just really doesn't matter from that standpoint. Then somebody tweeted at me and they said something like Braxton Miller at wide receiver going up against Virginia Tech in his first game is not going to be a good start for him. It's one of those where I just kind of – it's news, but does it really matter all that much?
Well, you know, I think it does open up some things for them offensively.
It does.
You know, I've gone back and forth on who I think will start, but I've always maintained that I think JT Barrett should start for this team moving forward. I think he's the future at quarterback for them. But, you know, you still have a very clearly proven backup if Cardale Jones ends up being the backup. And, you know, even with Braxton Miller, if he does end up playing wide receiver, it opens up a whole new array of trick plays and ways to really keep the defense on its heels. So
that's a good point. You know, so Virginia Tech will have to be ready for something like that.
Everyone will, yeah.
But VT typically, you know, knock on wood, doesn't really get fooled by trick plays. I think their defense does an outstanding job of staying home. And I know that a screen pass isn't a trick play, But I've written for years that Virginia Tech's defensive line covers the screen pass better than any college team I've ever seen. You know, you watch VT's defensive tackles in particular. They read screens very quickly and get out in the flat and disrupt them. And I imagine the pros do a pretty good job of that, but Virginia Tech covers the screen better than any college team I've seen. And they're generally good about not getting fooled on trick plays.
I want to make a point about Braxton Miller. You know, he said in that interview that he mentioned H-back. You know, he's kind of a big guy, 6'2", 215. If you use him at H-back and you line him up in the backfield around Zeke Elliott at the same time, then you can match up one of those guys against Matua Puaka in the passing game. And that would be very, very bad for Virginia Tech. So, you know, this could be one of those things where they're thinking about trying to create a matchup problem there. I really think Virginia Tech has some matches up well against Ohio State's offense, as well as any defense in the country.
Oh, yeah.
But the one thing that scares me is Matua Puaka. I mean, seeing what Trey Edmonds did to him in the spring game, and then thinking about him meeting Ezekiel Elliott one-on-one in the hole or in the open field, well, that scares me, to be quite honest. And if you put another guy back there, then that greatens the chances that you could get one of them matched up on Matua Puaka in the passing game, in the option game, something like that. So if they use him as an H-back, it widens their options, I think.
I don't think I'm so much, to expand on your point there, and your point's well made, I don't think I'm so much concerned about a physical one-on-one matchup between Elliott and Matua Puaka, and this is what you're getting at, because we've talked about Andrew Matua Puaka, not from a physical standpoint, but his struggles being getting sucked in, you know, not reading plays well at times last year. Physically one-on-one with Ezekiel Elliott, I give Andrew Matua Puaka a great chance to make a tackle, make a play, but it's can he be in the right place at the right time with so much deception going on in that Ohio State offense.
Sure, and the fact that he has to set up the defense himself as the Mike linebacker. You know, if you're the Mike, you can't just worry about yourself. You're worried about the whole defense. And if you're such a young Mike and, you're getting really tied up there, your head is tying up your feet, you're just trying to worry about where you got to go. You're not even thinking about setting up the defense and things like that. And that's where it really gets difficult for a young player at Mike. And you know, that's why it was always so impressive that young guys like Vince Hall, like Jack Tyler, could handle the Mike position effectively so early in their careers.
Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com, joining us here in the McAdoo studios. Clearly, the defense against Ohio State's offense is going to be a big matchup, something we're going to talk a lot about. But Virginia Tech's offense against that Ohio State defense is critically important, and especially so in the context of, you know, field position, not turning the ball over, converting on third downs. That's where it's really going to happen for this team, if it happens at all, on September the 7th. And that defensive line is going to pose immediately a huge test for this offensive line, which is going to break in a brand new center, but also will have some guys like Teller and Conti and McLaughlin, you know, that have reps under their belts. You're going to find out pretty quickly in that game what they're made of.
Yeah, one of the things that really went well for Virginia Tech last year in that game was third down conversions. I don't remember what Tech's stat was. It was pretty sure it was well above 50%.
Right.
You know, and they made some incredible plays on third down.
Don't quote me on this, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 for 15, wasn't it? Something like that.
That sounds right.
I think it was a high number.
Mm-hmm. And Ohio State, on the other hand, at one point in the game, I was watching highlights the other day, at one point in the game, they were 2 of 12 on third down. So that game, you can almost say that really came down to third down conversions. I think if you flip that stat, I think VT probably gets smoked in that game. So it's
9 for 17, by the way.
A little above 50%, but not right. Way above 50%. But Virginia Tech made so many really impressive plays, and they pulled some things out that Ohio State wasn't ready for. Remember they ran the end around to Sam Rogers where he was going to throw it, and then he tucked it and ran for about 20 yards, and then they threw a touchdown pass to him down in the corner. I mean, Tech had some stuff for Ohio State that they hadn't seen, but they also executed really, really well. So I don't know that there's anything Virginia Tech at this point can show Ohio State that Ohio State hadn't already seen on film. They now have a full year of film with pretty much the same players. You know, they just got to go out and execute.
They do, and something else to keep in mind, and there's no need to go back and break down last year's game because I don't know how much good it does us or anybody else, but thinking back to sitting in that press box last year and watching Ohio State's offense unfold from high above in the top of the horseshoe, there were a couple of drops and there were a couple of throws that JT Barrett makes with ease later in the season that probably lead to first downs. One in particular that probably would have gone for a touchdown.
The little flare pass.
Exactly.
Who was it? Was it Elliott out there?
It might have been Elliott, but you know, it probably goes for a touchdown because there was one player within 25 yards. you know, and Elliott would have had one man to beat to go down the sideline. So, I mean, that's the game of football. You know, you have to make opportunities and make them count. But still, they missed some throws and dropped some balls last year that could have swung that game, maybe not in a different direction, but I don't know that it's a two-score deficit when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I agree.
So, the defensive line for Ohio State, Chris. I know you're probably going to get more into the nitty-gritty, the analysis version of this stuff later on as the game draws closer, but I mean, we talk about Virginia Tech's defensive line possibly being among the best in the country. Ohio State's going to try to lay claim to that as well.
Sure, absolutely. You know, they're going to have more first-round, second-round pick talent on their team. We'll see if they're as productive from a statistical standpoint. The big matchup to me is, you know, if Wade Hanson gets matched up on Joey Bosa, and this is going to be, you know, the first major start in Wade's career. You know, he started a few games last year, but this will by far be his biggest challenge. He might have been Virginia Tech's most improved offensive player this past spring. I thought he did a pretty good job. Even in some one-on-one situations with Daddy Nicholas, he held his own. But in a real game going up against a first-round pick like Joey Bosa, you know, that's a whole different ball game. So how he responds, you know, how the whole Virginia Tech offensive line responds in general, I mean, even on the inside, breaking in a new center, Eric Gallo, against those defensive tackles Joey Bosa gets all the hype, but those defensive tackles are really, really, really good. And they're even talking about Jalen Holmes might end up starting at the other defensive end spot, and he's the defensive end from the 757 that Virginia Tech missed out on a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, and just to point out here, we talk about depth, you know, being an issue for Virginia Tech at certain places. I don't think talent depth is the issue for Ohio State, but experience depth could be a problem for them because you look across their defensive line, Joey Bosa, Adolphus Washington, both guys that were around last year, there are a couple of seniors. Tommy Shutt, senior. Tyquan Lewis is a redshirt sophomore. But behind them, a redshirt freshman, a redshirt freshman, a redshirt sophomore, guys that haven't played much. You know, so they also are going to have some guys that will likely have to take some snaps that really, you know, it's going to be the first really big test for them too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Virginia Tech needs to be able to sustain drives offensively. So that forces Ohio State to substitute, makes them play those backup defensive linemen more. If backups are in the game, there's more of a chance there's going to be a mistake. There's more of a chance a guy's going to go to the wrong gap and such things. So But to get them into the game, you got to put pressure on their defense. If you go out there and go three and out every possession to start the game, then they don't even have to play their backups because their starters will still be well rested. So you got to go on longer drives, make their starters run, make those starting defensive linemen do a lot of running and get to their backups.
No doubt. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com, joining us here in the McAdoo studios. We'll take a break. Still more to get to. We'll talk a little bit about ACC kickoff in Pinehurst a couple of days ago. Also recruiting, as Tech landed a couple of commitments in the past week. Still more to get to. Chris and Will with us the entire second hour. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.